The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good to see all of you here this morning. Glad that God gathered us together. One little housekeeping note before we get into catechesis. On the back of your bulletin, where you find the intro for today, and this should not be a problem with the large print if you're following a large print, but if you're using the small print, the antiphon, the last two lines below the Gloria Patri, are from last week. So you don't want to use those two lines. What you want to use are the first two lines at the very beginning. So, you know, you can proceed through the intro as normal to the Gloria Patri, and then after the Gloria Patri, go back up to the very beginning for give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his death, that's love, and yours forever. And everything will be fine. Blaming Ellen. You can blame me because I proofed the bulletin and I didn't crash that. So, there we go. Everything is always the pastor's fault, just like it was always the line producer's fault that the TV used to do.
The graphic artist.
What was that?
The graphic artist.
The graphic artist's fault, Katie says in the newspaper. Yeah, sure. Blame the graphic artist.
Yes. We always have the line. How much can we
print that? Yes. So for our time of catechesis, we are now starting section 3 on the table of duties. And you see there, as Luther introduces it, certain passages of Scripture for various holy orders and positions, admonishing them about their duties and responsibilities. What's notable there is the use of the word holy orders, because in Luther's day, holy orders would have been a monk or a nun, one of the orders of clergy. And so what he's doing here is he's trying to suggest with the table of duties that any of these vocational relationships is itself a holy order, right? To be in the family, to be a father, to be a mother, to be in the church, to be a pastor or to be people, to be in the government, to be a prince or to be citizens. All of these are God-created orders, relationships, vocational relationships that God wants us to use the gifts that he has given us. As we were just talking a little bit in the Bible class this morning, the gift to be the mother, the gift to be the pastor, all of these are different gifts that God gives, and then he expects us to use them in the ways here that he prescribes according to his word. So the first of these this morning is to bishops, pastors, and preachers. And I'm going to share these passages with you since you don't have them there. The overseer, this is from 1 Timothy 3, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband above one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well, and see that his children obey him with proper respect. But if you're a single pastor, you don't have any children to show that you can't manage your family well, which is maybe a good thing. But that doesn't mean that any pastor meets these necessarily well, much less perfectly, right? I can remember talking about these with classmates in seminary. Some of us are less self-controlled perhaps than others. Some of us may be more able to teach than others. Some of us aren't married, and so we're not going to worry about being the husband of one wife, although I've heard some pastors say that just means one wife at a time, and not just one wife, which is what Paul says there. The next passage from 1 Timothy 3, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. So the idea that the pastor is established in his faith and not just somebody who came to leave yesterday or something like that. And then from Titus 1:9, you must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And that passage is perhaps particularly timely for us to see both of this dual aspect, that it isn't just faithful teaching, but it is also the refutation of the error. As I mentioned in my pastor's report, which you can see in the council packet, the pastor is to pasture the sheep, to feed the sheep, but also to guard against wolves. And the guarding against the wolves sometimes is an ugly process. And teaching the sound doctrine also brings division between those who adhere to the sound doctrine and those who do not. So it isn't just all, what's the cliche, moonbeams and sunshine and what? Sunshine and moonbeams? Sunshine and lollipops. Rainbows. Sunshine and rainbows? Okay. Unicorns and fairy dust or whatever. But there is a necessary thing. If our Lord says, do not think that I came to bring peace, but to bring division, then we should expect the same thing of those who follow after. There's going to be division that he follows. All right. Any other comments or questions on the duties of bishops, pastors, and preachers? All right. Then we'll turn to page 203 for the preparation for setting 4. And remember when we get to the intro to repeat the antiphon from the beginning and not at the end. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But when you hear his forgiveness, therefore we are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our lowest state.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
He who gives food to all flesh.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Neighbors as ourselves, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The appointed Old Testament reading is from the 18th and 19th chapters of the book of Leviticus. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you live, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not do injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Are the feet of those who preach the good news,
who promise peace and bring good news of salvation.
Their voice has gone out to all the earth,
and their words to the ends of the world.
The epistle reading is from Colossians. First chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, and indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ, on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered,
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, 845.
Where charity and love create.
join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel reading, a lawyer, that is a teacher and interpreter of the Old Testament law, put Jesus to the test by asking Jesus what the man might do in order to inherit, that is, to acquire, obtain, or come into possession of eternal life. But Jesus, in some sense, turned the tables on the man, testing the man by asking him what was written in the Old Testament law and how the man interpreted it. The man answered essentially both complete love of God and love of neighbor as self. And Jesus told him that he answered correctly and that he should do that and he would live. Then the man, wishing to justify himself, that is, to show himself to be righteous, asked Jesus who the man's neighbor was. And Jesus answered with what is commonly called the parable of the Good Samaritan, unique to St. Luke's gospel account, although the divinely inspired St. Luke, neither calls the illustration a parable nor the Samaritan good. Regardless, as the possibly true illustration ends, Jesus asks the man who proved to be a neighbor to the victim of the robbers. The man answered essentially, the Samaritan. And Jesus told the man to go and likewise to show mercy. Jesus not only turned the tables on the man, but Jesus also at least tried to turn the man's focus from the man's loving someone defined as a neighbor to someone else's proving to be a neighbor. Considering primarily today's gospel reading with the help of the Holy Spirit, this morning we realize that Jesus proves to be a neighbor to us. From last Sunday's gospel reading, we've skipped over a few closely connected and so relevant verses in order to get to today's gospel reading. In those skipped verses, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and thanked his Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, that he had hidden things related to salvation from the wise and understanding, but revealed those things to little children. Jesus said that the things related to salvation were handed over to him by his Father, and that no one knows who the Father is except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And Jesus privately said to the disciples that their eyes were blessed for seeing the things that they saw, for many prophets and kings desired to see the things that they saw, but did not see them. Thus, in today's gospel reading, the man who stood up to put Jesus to the test might be considered an example of the wise and understanding, from whom God the Father had hidden the things of salvation, even as Jesus was trying to open his eyes, as it were, as even today, God is trying to open our eyes in order to lead us to repent and so to be saved through faith. Other religious traditions around us in society, especially those that we might find on television, falsely teach salvation by works. And in support of their false teaching, they even might cite the verses from today's gospel reading, in which Jesus tells the man, "Do this, and you will live. And you go and do likewise." Such false teachers may have great crowds in their congregations and great ratings on television, because such false teaching appeals to all people, corrupted as we all are by original sin. As the proverb goes, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We might add that that death is both now and for eternity. Like the man in today's gospel reading, we might try to show ourselves to be righteous by wrongly limiting the application of God's law, wrongly thinking that if we make the law small enough and easy enough to follow, then we can keep it. For example, we might wrongly ask, are those affected by the Central Texas flash floods or are other people whom God places in our paths really our neighbors? Or we might wrongly ask, do they have a legitimate need? Or we might wrongly ask, can we really help them without negatively impacting our own congregation or our own families? The Samaritan in today's gospel reading did for the victim of the robbers what had to be done and what he could do. For example, he did not miraculously instantly heal him completely. But all too often, we, as it were, pass by on the other side. We do not love our neighbors as ourselves with our deeds, much less with our words and thoughts. And that is not even to mention how we fail to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. We forget how bad off we are.